Welcome to Module 2, all about why kids need limits. In this section, I'm going to explain why our kids need limits, particularly why screen time can impact on their health, well-being, learning, and development. As parents, we all know that we need to enforce screen time limits. If we didn't, our kids would literally be walking around with their digital appendages 24/7. It's essential living in this digital world that we teach our children how to manage media, and not the other way around, where media manages them. There's no doubt that they'll inherit a world that's digital, so we have to teach them how to form healthy and helpful relationships with technology. This is really what we're fostering, healthy media habits. So screen time, if we can reconceptualize it, is not about us necessarily enforcing strict rules, but instead if we look at it more as a way to foster and to develop healthy screen habits with our kids, it's much more of a positive approach. We want our kids to see technology as a tool. It's not a toy. We want them to see technology is a privilege and not necessarily a right. So at these young ages, we're really trying to foster that idea that we're using technology as a valid learning tool and that it's a privilege to use it. And also that we have to be able to switch it off. Now, obviously, in the early years, and I'm talking here particularly about 2 to at least 8 years, we really need to show kids and teach kids and remind kids how to form these healthy habits. I don't think we can expect our kids to automatically develop these habits. But over time, we want our kids to develop what we call an internal locus of control. We want them to be able to manage technology and develop these healthy relationships themselves. But they can't learn these without our explicit instruction, and they can't learn these without our healthy modelling as well. And we'll talk a bit more about that. Now, I know I mentioned in the previous module, but I think it's important again because this sets up what I'm going to talk about in Module 2 here. Screen time is always about ensuring that screen time doesn't encroach in our kids' time to meet their basic needs. It means putting in place boundaries so that their basic needs can be met and that their physical health and well-being isn't compromised. And it's all about balance. And I know some people don't like that particular word, but it's all about ensuring our child has a really comprehensive and rich childhood, not one that's dominated by a particular activity. So kids need screen time limits because we have to make sure that their basic developmental needs aren't interfered with. We have to make sure that their time with digital devices isn't superseding really important activities that they need for optimal learning and development. So I looked for several years, and as my work as a previous teacher and researcher, I looked at what do kids need? What are their basic developmental needs? And the neuroscience and the developmental science actually pinpoint 7 basic things. Now I'm about to show you these. These are not rocket science. These are really basic things that kids need. But screen time, if it's not carefully managed, if it's used excessively, can actually encroach on these basic needs. So what is it that kids need? Basic things like relationships. They need opportunities to hear and use language. Kids need sleep. They need opportunities for play, for physical movement, and executive function skills. These are their higher order thinking skills, such as managing their impulses and their working memory. And they also need good quality nutrition. Now, the latest research in the neuroscience area and in the developmental science very clearly tells us that kids' basic needs are not changing. These are fundamental basic principles that need to be met for optimal learning and development to occur. And we have to make sure that time with screens, that our digital device time, isn't interfering with these building blocks. And that's why I use this jar analogy. And I'll come back to the jar analogy in one of our later modules. But it's really important to think every day, are we making sure our children's basic needs are being met at home and or in childcare or at school if they're a little bit older? And it's quite obvious from this jar analogy, we can see that if children's basic needs aren't being met, that screen time is possibly one of the culprits. If children aren't getting enough time to play and to be physically active, if screen time is perhaps encroaching on their opportunities to sleep, this can give us a really clear insight that perhaps their screen time is unhealthy. So we have to establish really healthy habits from the start. this technology won't disappear. It's not just a fad that your child's going through. It's here to stay. And remember the tree analogy that I used earlier in the first module. Moving a young tree, an underdeveloped tree, a tree that hasn't established its roots, is much easier than uprooting and moving a very mature tree that has its roots firmly established. So we have to get it right from the start. It's much, much easier to enforce limits later on if we develop these healthy habits from an early age. So this means that we have to teach our toddler, when they're asking for our smartphone, about screen time limits. And yes, you probably will encounter the techno tantrum, but we have to be firm with these limits. Trust me, I've worked with lots of families, and getting this right at a young age means that we don't have to fight battles when they're much older and much less reliant to comply. It's certainly not easy, but it's definitely worth investing early on. So what are their basic needs? I just explained what they are, but in particular, the biggest threats that screen time poses is to our children's physical movement levels. Kids are leading much more sedentary lifestyles these days. In particular, we're also seeing screen time encroaching on their opportunities for sleep and obviously for their relationships too. It's really important that their daily dose of digital doesn't displace or supersede their basic building blocks. These are their basic needs that have to be met regardless of whether they're online or offline. So we always need to ask ourselves, and this is a really good little quick check. As a parent, I know we're often time poor, but a really quick way, if your child's spending time on a screen, you could simply ask yourself, what's the opportunity cost? What are they missing out on with the hour that they're spending on the screen? If you are confident that all of their basic developmental needs, these seven things in the jar, are being met, then you don't need to fear or fret about their screen time. We always have to think about what it's displacing. And we'll come back to this later on in Module 5, where we look at how you can calculate healthy amounts of screen time for your child. So let's look at some of these basic needs. The most essential, the most critical basic need that a child has is their need for relationships. We are hardwired as humans to connect with other humans. And technology can interfere with this process if it's not carefully managed. It can either support or stifle this basic need. There are concerns that some children today are experiencing what we call a social skill deficit. There are some concerns that children's screen time is impacting on their opportunities for face-to-face interaction. I call this real FaceTime. Children need this real FaceTime to develop really important interpersonal skills. When they're having this real FaceTime, they learn to read body language, emotions, facial expressions, pauses, and intonations. A very interesting study published in 2015 in the Journal of Developmental and Behavioural Pediatrics showed that toddlers who watched a lot of TV were much more likely to be victimised by their peers as adolescents. The study followed children from birth to grade 6, and it showed that those children who watched a lot more TV at 29 months of age reported more instances of being bullied in the later years. Now, it's really important to reiterate that this study didn't prove that TV causes children to be bullied. That's certainly not what it showed. But it does suggest that children who are watching excessive amounts of TV may be vulnerable to bullying. The study's authors proposed that children's communication and social skills might have been hampered by their screen habits. So again, it's this displacement effect. Time building real relationships, real interactions, can be displaced by screens. Another really fascinating study that was published in 2014 looked at some preteens, and they had 5 days away from all screen media. They went off on a camp, and the study looked at children's, or these preteens', recognition of non-verbal emotional cues. So basically, how well could they read facial expressions? Now, in just 5 days, the students' capabilities of recognizing nonverbal emotional cues improved dramatically. So they assessed their cue ability before and after 5 days at camp, And it appeared that less time for social interaction when they're spending time with screens is likely to result in social skill deficits. And the early years, these young years where children are learning how to form and sustain relationships, is really critical for building these basic social skills. So again, we have to make sure that their screen time isn't jeopardizing their social skill development. Our kids basically need real face time. Now, I know this next slide is slightly contentious, but I think it's an important reminder. And I'm here again to say I don't always get this right as a parent, but we have to also be mindful of our use of screens. Our kids are observing everything that we do with our digital devices, and in many instances, they're emulating what we do. We have to make sure that our use of screens isn't encroaching on our relationships with our children. We're suffering here in this instance, we're seeing a phenomenon called FOM, as Susan Pierce and Martine from The Mind Gardener talk about. This is a phenomenon, fear of making memories, where we're so afraid to make memories unless we capture them to our device's camera.
I'm doing it.
Nice.
What?
I'm really proud of you, buddy. You did great. I missed it on here. I need to recreate the whole thing. If I can't share it, it's like it didn't happen. Do you understand?
Okay.
Are you?
And this video shows us really powerfully, are we really capturing the moment if we're always capturing it to our smartphone's camera? Our devices as parents can be really helpful. I'm the first to admit. I often find, you know, using my smartphone as a tool to reply to emails or checking social media really helps me. But it can be a double-edged sword. Our screens can rob us of our two most precious commodities, our time and our attention. We have to be really mindful that we're not diminishing our children's relationship because of our screen time. We find it hard to switch off. So something that I found really helpful for me, and I know other family members also find this helpful, is coming up with a personal device policy, making sure that you have clear lines of demarcation when you won't be using your phone. Perhaps you have rules around when you check social media, and perhaps instead of using the word rules, we use the word habits. But we really want to have some policies. Plan when and where you'll use devices and where you won't. Every now and then, leave the device at home. Go to the park, go to the beach, go for a walk without your device. For me, and this sounds quite drastic, but actually putting my phone away and on silent between certain hours during my mum time. So every day between 4 and 8, I really try to avoid where I can having my phone accessible. So coming up with something that works for you, but making sure that we don't let devices impact on our kids' relationships. That's the most essential building block. Another critical building block where screen time is really having a significant impact is on children's sleep. Tom was an 8-year-old boy who had previously watched a bit of TV before he went to bed every night, and there were no real problems. Tom was given an iPad for his birthday, and all of a sudden Tom's parents noticed that it was taking him a lot longer to fall asleep, and his parents were really confused. Tom had never had problems using the TV or watching TV before sleep, but the iPad really caused a significant delay in his sleep. It took him, instead of taking him, you know, the usual 5 minutes to fall asleep, he was staying awake for up to half an hour or an hour in some instances, longer. And his parents started to wonder why. And what they realized after attending one of the seminars that I delivered was that his iPad use was causing his sleep delays. So we know that the use of mobile devices like tablets and smartphones can delay the onset of sleep. Because these devices emit blue light, it can suppress the body's production of melatonin, which is what children's bodies need to fall asleep quickly and easily. So if children aren't producing sufficient amounts of melatonin, it takes them longer to fall asleep. These sleep delays might only be 5, 10, 15 minutes, but they accumulate over time and can result in a sleep deficit. And if our kids aren't getting enough sleep, they cannot learn. Their brain undergoes so many important processes while they sleep. So it's really critical that they're getting sufficient amounts of sleep. So the blue light is one reason why Tom would have had trouble falling asleep. The other reason is that it can have an arousal effect. Interactive devices, as the name suggests, are a lot more engaging and interactive. When we watch television, we tend to be a lot more passive. So we need to be really mindful about when children are using screens as opposed to just looking at how much they're using them. So how much sleep do children need? You'll see in one of the handouts, I've broken this down into a little table for you. Bearing in mind, all children are different. Not every child fits into these norms and standards, but this gives you some guideline. And we'll come back to why these recommendations are important in module 5, where we actually look at how much screen time is appropriate for kids. So really important that kids' screens aren't interfering with their opportunities for sleep. So how do we manage this? Ensure that children's bedrooms are tech-free zones for sleep hygiene reasons. We also know that devices in rooms can interfere with sleep cycles. So keeping all devices, televisions, gaming consoles, tablet devices out of bedrooms. Make sure we limit interactive devices before sleep. And in an ideal world, we should really be switching off devices. Psychologist Jocelyn Brewer calls it a digital sunset. We need to have a bedtime for our devices. So in an ideal world, it would be that 90-minute period before we want the onset of sleep to start. But if that's not possible, at least 60 minutes before bedtime. A simple strategy that also works well is actually specifying a landing zone. Having a place in your house, a designated place, be it the sideboard, the dining table, the kitchen bench, a specific place where devices go at a set time to be charged or just stored. And that way, as a parent, you can go past, do a quick head count or a device count and check that the 18 iPads and 6 smartphones are all lined up before you go to bed. In the latest operating system for with Apple, the iOS devices, you now have an option for night shift, and this can change the brightness of the device. Now, this is a potential solution, but I'm worried that it's perhaps a little band-aid over the real problem, and that is getting our kids to actually switch off. But I know for some families, because of sport commitments or for other reasons, using the device before bed is helpful or necessary. I mean, if that's the case, the night shift option is definitely something that would be worth looking at. So we've looked at two basic needs that children have, relationships and sleep. I'm also going to look at now why we need to make sure kids have screen time limits. They need opportunities for play. They need outdoor, unstructured, unsupervised play every single day. Play is the work of childhood. Children need opportunities away from screens. When children play, they develop a whole lot of other important skills and their basic needs. They develop language, they develop executive function skills, which are these higher order thinking skills that children need to develop. Play really is critical, and we have to make sure that children have these opportunities where they play away from screens. We do not want all of their leisure time dominated by digital devices. We also need to ensure that our kids get enough physical movement every day. And this is where screen time can be a really big threat to children's health and well-being. We know that physical development wires the brain for learning, and it's also really important for their cardiovascular health. Screen time, however, can be a triple whammy when it comes to children's movement and physical health. You see, at its basic level, screen time displaces opportunities for physical activity. Kids are much more sedentary when they're using digital devices, so it's displacing them, those opportunities. We also know the second whammy is because when kids are using screens, they're also exposed to a lot more unhealthy food advertising. Children see all the types of advertising that we don't want, and it's not just on television ads anymore. Apps and websites, all digital devices come with a wealth of advertising now. And the third whammy is related to screen time and obesity levels in particular, is that we tend to snack on unhealthy foods when we're using screens. So salty, processed and high sugar foods tend to be closely associated with children's screen time. So we have to make sure that they're not spending too much time on screens and making them much more sedentary. So how much movement do they need? And again, this is in your checklist handout. We don't have recommendations for 0 to 1 year olds because their sleep times vary so much, But in essence, we want our babies moving, rolling, rocking, crawling, exploring, pulling up as much as they can. It literally is movement is absolutely fundamental to basic neurological development. Between the ages of 1 and 5, so our toddler and preschool years, we want our children engaged in at least 3 hours of physical activity each day. So not 3 hours of an intense boot camp, but mixed, interspersed throughout the day and consisting of light, moderate and vigorous physical activity. And for our 5 to 12-year-olds, the recommendations are for at least, and I stress that word at least, 1 hour of moderate to vigorous intensity physical activity every day. And our kids, many kids aren't getting this level of activity. So we have to make sure that their screen time isn't interfering with this. And the next basic need is nutrition. We have to make sure that our kids are obviously eating the healthy types of food, but we know that screen time is interfering with meal times. Many kids are having screen dinners, tablets at the table, I often call them. And this can be a problem for a couple of reasons. One, we're seeing instances where children are refusing to eat without a digital device in close proximity. And this is not obviously healthy for their language. And we're also seeing kids' taste palates change because they are not necessarily being mindful when they're eating their food. If they're using a digital device whilst they're eating, they're developing taste sensitivities and their taste preferences are changing. So it's really, really important that we have, again, not only designated spaces like bedrooms that are tech-free, but also designated times that are just no-go tech zones. And in our family, we found that the dinner table is a really great place where we just don't bring devices. Now, there are occasions when my husband or I might break that rule, and our son is really good at pointing that out to us. But we have to make sure that kids have not only access to food, but they have the opportunities to eat it and enjoy it well. So there are some of the basic needs that kids have and why we need to monitor their screen time. One of the second reasons that we have to monitor kids' screen time is that it can have a really addictive potential. Kids can find it really hard to switch off, and if they're using it excessively, it can have some detrimental effects on their physical health and well-being. So some of the potential risks, and I need to reiterate potential risks, if I'm really honest, we're conducting a bit of a living experiment. We don't yet know what the long-term health implications are of young children using devices on their development. We know what their basic developmental needs are, and we can infer what excessive amounts of screen time can be doing on their development, but we don't know conclusively that screen time can be detrimental. But there are some potential risks. And as cautious Christy, I feel like I need to explain what some of those risks are. So the three main risks of excessive, again, using, I'm not just saying a little bit of screen time, I'm talking about huge amounts of screen time every day, can impact on their vision, their posture and their hearing. So in particular, we're seeing increasing rates of myopia, which is nearsightedness. And ophthalmologists and optometrists are suggesting that this is more than likely, more than likely attributed to the early introduction of screens, so when developing eyes are still undergoing rapid development, and excessive amounts of screen. So simple things that we can do to minimize exposure for vision is to get kids to blink a lot more. We can get children to implement the 20-20-20 rule, and that is every 20 minutes they use a screen, they should take at least a 20-second break. Look at something 20 feet away, which is about 6 meters, and do something physically active for at least 20 seconds. It's really critical that we give our kids opportunities for their eyes to develop appropriately. Another simple strategy here is when our kids are using screens is obviously to blink a lot more. We blink about 66% less when we're using a screen. So encouraging your little one to blink when they're using a device will help lubricate the eyes and stop any tiredness. But the most effective strategy is to limit our kids' use of screens to make sure that their vision is developed in a healthy way. The World Health Organization estimates that 1.1 billion people worldwide could be affected by noise-induced hearing loss because of unsafe use of personal music devices like MP3 players and smartphones, as well as exposure from noisy entertainment venues. This is a huge risk. And again, suggestions are that the early introduction or the excessive levels of headphones can have a harmful effect on our children's health and well-being. Most recommendations suggest that safe levels are between 65 and 75 decibels for children. However, most commercial headphones can reach a maximum of 130 decibels. So we can potentially really harm our children's hearing if they're allowed to reach these levels. So some simple practical strategies for families is to obviously set the maximum level. Go into your device's settings and set maximum levels. Another strategy, as you can see in the image here, is to use the earmuff style headphones as opposed to the earbuds. And again, the most effective strategy is to limit their time. Kids really shouldn't be having more than an hour maximum of day with headphones. The third risk to their health and their physical development is their musculoskeletal health. We're seeing increasing rates of children presenting with what I call eye posture or repetitive stress injury. And again, physiotherapists, chiropractors are suggesting that these problems are associated with excessive amounts of time with screens. So basically children's muscles fatigue over time and they adopt poor posture. And as a result, this can accumulate into some musculoskeletal problems or repetitive injuries. And the third reason we need to ensure that kids have limits on their screen time is that we really need to ensure that kids have a balanced, a really whole and complete childhood. Childhood is a precious time and one that they don't get back. So we need to make sure that they get their daily dose of screen time and green time. They need time to disconnect. And we actually know that their brains need time to switch off. We have something called the nature restorative theory. And we know that time in nature, this green time, calms their brain down. When they're in the online world, it poses constant sensory seduction. There is music, alerts, there are animations, sound effects, and this basically overloads the part of the brain that's responsible for processing sensory input. And this is that prefrontal cortex where their executive function skills are developed. But time in nature actually allows the brain to switch off this prefrontal cortex. They don't have to manage their impulses. They can save, this part of the brain switches off and they enter what they call mind-wandering mode. And when children enter mind-wandering mode, they come up with creative ideas and they can become problem solvers. And just as an aside, this is why we have our best ideas in the shower or when we go for a run or a walk or a holiday. We switch off our prefrontal cortex. We're not managing our memory and trying to manage our impulses. And we enter this mind-wandering mode, this default mode of thinking. And our kids can't do this if they're constantly plugged in and switched on. So we have to schedule in. As busy families, we often need to schedule in our green time, figuring out each day when kids are going to go outdoors and play. In my family at the moment, we found early mornings after the kids are dressed and ready to go for the day is great at getting them outside and playing in their cubby house and trampoline. And we've also found after school works really well and some time on the weekend. We have to make sure that our kids don't suffer from what's called the nature deficit disorder. Nothing in the real world offers the same types of sensory seduction that the online world offers. Dopamine isn't released as frequently as it is in the online world, in the offline world. So we have to make sure that they get accustomed. This is why children often find the real world so boring if they've spent excessive amounts of time on screens. Nature's so much slower paced. So schedule in some green time each day and also make sure you schedule in some white space. Our kids lead such hurried childhoods now, they don't get time to just freely explore or wander. White space is critical for them to develop in healthy ways. So how do we know if we're not getting this balance right? And again, see, there's a handout in this workshop called How to Know If Your Child's Screen Time is Unhealthy. But some of the key things to look out for. How do you know that they're not switching it off early enough? Are they spending vast amounts of time engaged with technology? Now, there's no specific number, and I'm going to explain that in Module 5. But we know, as a parent, we have an intuitive feeling about when something's just not healthy or it's too much. Are they having any problems with their sleep habits? Do they always become irritable, aggressive, moody after they've used a device? Now, some of this is normal, but if it's always happening or it's becoming more aggravated or obvious, this can be a sign that perhaps the balance isn't quite right. Do they find it hard to entertain themselves when there's no digital device around? Do they have poor self-regulation skills? Are these children always looking for a digital device when they're bored or idle? Are they withdrawing from social situations in preference for using digital devices? Do they continue to use devices even when you've asked them to switch them off and they're aware that it's becoming a problem? Do they in fact lie or try and conceal how technology is being used by them? Do they need to use technology for increasing amounts of time to achieve the same level of satisfaction? Are they using it as a way to cope or to avoid another psychological problem? Is there a refusal to go to school or to other regular sporting activities or leisure activities because screen time is interfering with it? Are they becoming disinterested in their schoolwork or are their results declining? And these are just some of the ways that we may not have the balance right. Now, the good thing with seeing technology as a habit is that we can think about changing it. It's not fixed in stone. It's not a label that we need to ascribe to them. It just means we need to make some minor tweaks, and we can talk about how we do that.
This is Dot. This is Dot. She knows a lot. She knows how to tap, how to swipe, and how to share. But there's more to life beyond the screen. We all need time to reboot, recharge, and restart. So then we can tap, we can swipe, and we can share. This is Dot. She's learned a lot.
And you may notice there the author of that book is the sister to the Mark Zuckerberg. So it really is not about saying technology should be avoided or minimized. It's just about saying we need to find the right balance. How does it fit into childhood without it encroaching on their basic needs, without having to constantly enforce boundaries and to strike that balance? Our next module that we're going to look at is techno tantrums. Why do our kids experience techno tantrums? How do we deal with them? And how can we prevent them?